When it comes to climate change, we'll see you in court. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple. This week, the Environmental Protection Agency announced it's repealing the Clean Power Plan. That's the Obama-era rule to cut carbon emissions from power plants in order to fight climate change. The Clean Power Plan never took effect because more than two dozen states sued, arguing the EPA overstepped its legal authority. The Supreme Court had been looking into those claims. Jeff Homestead was Assistant Administrator for Air at EPA under George W. Bush, and he's head of the Environmental Strategies Group at Bracewell LLP, a law firm. He argues that under the Clean Air Act, EPA's authority only extends to standards for how individual plants control for certain types of emissions and pollution.
Those are the only tools you have to deal with climate change. You can't come up with other ones just because you think they're better or more effective.
The Clean Power Plan's goal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from the electricity sector by an estimated 32% of 2005 levels by 2030 would have required the phasing out of coal-generated plants more quickly in favor of more natural gas and renewables. Environmental groups and states like Massachusetts say they'll sue EPA over the repeal of the rule. And we shouldn't be surprised. The number of state and federal lawsuits related to climate change has been on the rise since 2006. And as Rebecca Williams reports, experts say we're likely to see a lot more.
A recent study in the journal Science finds the role of climate science in court is changing. Sabrina McCormick is the study's lead author. She's an associate professor of environmental and occupational health at the George Washington University. McCormick and her team looked at more than 870 judicial decisions between 1990 and 2016. They found that climate science is being used more often in lawsuits, starting about 10 years ago.
For example, the historic case of Massachusetts versus EPA, which was in 2007, which led to the regulation of greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act, as well as other key cases.
McCormick says of the cases the team looked at, more cases were won by anti-regulation plaintiffs than those advocating for more regulations. Think lawsuits over coal-burning power plants.
When you look at air cases, for example, you see people who are interested in kind of anti-regulatory outcomes winning more than the other type of plaintiff.
So she says people who want fewer regulations tend to win suits more often, except when it comes to cases over renewable energy and energy efficiency. Those kinds of lawsuits have been coming up more recently, and McCormick says you see something very different happening there.
Which is you see that folks who are interested in the advancement or the proliferation of renewable energy winning more those who are interested in the advancement of fossil fuels. So the trends around who's winning and losing really depend on what kind of case it is.
McCormick says a winning case can have profound effects on everything from local communities to federal policies. She says, not surprisingly, California has significantly more climate lawsuits than any other state.
And when cases are won in that state, that state can set precedents for other states who want to adopt the policy that's been advanced in the court system in California.
So she says it can have a huge ripple effect across the country. For example, California's tighter fuel economy standards for cars were upheld when Vermont wanted to adopt the same standards. McCormick says it's likely we'll see more lawsuits during the Trump administration. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Rebecca Williams.
And that's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.